in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
Certain people don't know I headed off to the track yesterday, but it was good. Good day at the track.
Did you go down to Retama, or did you go out to your little secret one in Fredericksburg?
No. I went to Retama. 2-1 over a 45-1 for a $2 bet for $164. At a $2 bet with a 13-1 over a 14-1 to play $393. I was smoking. Then I had to jump in a car because I had to get back.
Had to sneak back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, sometimes you have to, where'd you go? Where'd you been? Oh, hey,
BK, something tells me we won't be talking about this at like the 8 o'clock hour.
Oh, hell no.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know.
Busy 8 o'clock hour on a Buck Off Thursday. Buck on to Brian Davis. He'll be with us coming up. Talk some Texas football. 16 days to the game with Maryland. Covering every day of practice down there. We'll talk to BD. We'll also check in with John Harris, a couple of our favorite guys. John Harris leaving West Virginia today. John Harris has been in West Virginia, I think, for 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I think the average temperature has been about 80.
Yeah, we're going to ask him about the 3 weeks at the Greenbrier for the Texans, Deshaun Watson's progress, Deontay Foreman. And they're heading home to have one more day of practice with the Patriots today, and then they're coming home for their game with the Patriots on Saturday night. Cowboys as well. We'll hit it all, plus your salacious gossip and your blitz. The birthday of Robert De Niro is getting a lot of love on our Specs text line. This says Godfather Part 2, Meet the Parents. This says...
I guess Meet the Fockers was the sequel.
Yes. I mean, the first one was called Meet the Parents.
Meet the Parents.
But he's hilarious in that. He's just hilarious. The Heat was one of De Niro's best. I like that.
A Bronx Tale, I think he directed.
Casino, A Bronx Tale. All right.
A Casino, to me, was just kind of a rehash. I mean, it was already kind of had been done. It just took place in Las Vegas.
This guy says, doesn't LeBron James have a no-trade clause? That's true. I mean, that'd be ultimate. I mean, BK calls Kevin Durant snake in the grass because he went and joined a great team. But if LeBron is planning to leave anyway, the owner can get something for him, and he declined it, that would be some serious... You know, snake in the grass stuff in my mind, but, you know, it's his career.
BK, if WNBC wanted you to come work for them, would you?
Yes.
Yeah,
sure. WNBC.
Well, would I have to call you a snake because you went to a better team?
No, because I wouldn't be making, you know, the same amount of money or less money, and it wouldn't be like a lateral move, you know?
Well, I don't think going to I don't think going to Golden State's a lateral move. From Oklahoma City, I think it's a step up every possible.
I've said my thoughts on Kevin Durant many times. Man, he just isn't the leader, the alpha male we all thought he was, and that's disappointing for the game. And he ruined the sport for the next 5 years.
Oh. I just don't know where a 23-year-old gets that sort of negativity. How did you earn that?
I'm in between you two because I would say that my example, as I use all the time, is when the Celtics and 76ers were having heated rivalries in the 80s, and Dr. J would have gone to the Celtics, it would have been out of the question if that would ever happen.
And you know, don't misunderstand me, though. I don't root for the Warriors. I mean, and when he went, it made me root against them even more.
If Michael Jordan had left Chicago in the early 90s to join the Detroit Pistons, people would have been out. What are you doing? You can't leave. You got to beat them.
I don't fault him one bit for leaving, but it didn't make me like the team because I don't like Steph Curry.
I don't fault him one bit for leaving. I fault him for going to that team.
Right.
It was already a historically great team.
He was up 3-1 on that team with everybody coming back. You know, most alphas, most guys who want to win and compete would be like, oh, to hell with that. Next year we're going to beat these guys. I'm going to quit. I'm going to cop out and go join those guys.
Cupcake. Hey, let's get some headlines. Over to talk to Brian Davis. Cough my way into the headlines. How about that? How about Texas football? We'll talk to Brian about this coming up. And more bad news on the injury front came down last night. Senior tight end Andrew Beck suffered a fractured foot during yesterday's practice. No timetable given. It's obviously a very thin position at tight end. Grad transfer Kendall Moore, along with true freshman Cade Brewer and Reese Leto, the only three on the depth chart at this point. Baseball, first place Astros have now made it back-to-back wins for the first time in a couple weeks. They beat the Diamondbacks last night 9-5. Josh Reddick, Carlos Beltran both went deep. Charlie Morton became a 10-game winner there. How about former Texas State Bobcat Paul Goldschmidt? Keeping on the season he's putting together. Another great one. Hit a two-run homer in his hometown last night. Guy's an awesome player. Rangers finished off a three-game sweep with the Tigers up in Arlington. Elvis Andrus, homer, drove in four. Joey Gallo had another home run. That's 35 now on the season, 10 in his last 14 games. Also, Nomar Mazara drove in three runs in a 12-6 win for Texas. They now will have four with the Chicago White Sox. Round Rock did not get rained out finally, but they did lose. Got beat by New Orleans 6-3. And that's the news from your Ticket City update desk. Before we talk to Brian, BK, can we play this one more time? It's worth playing. Last night in the Texas locker room, just a really great scene as a kid named Garrett Graff, who's a senior-to-be, a walk-on, 3 years as a walk-on. For Charlie Strong and now for Tom Herman. After the work he's put in for the new coaching staff, they decided last night they were going to reward him with a scholarship, and obviously they surprised him with it. The voice you'll hear first is a magician who I guess the coaching staff and Tom Herman brought in to entertain the players and have some fun with it. So Garrett Graff, the walk-on from South Grand Prairie, was called up to be part of the magician's trick, and here's how this played out.
It's not a rabbit, really, that I keep in my hat. Hold on to this for me. See, on behalf of the UT football program, I'm pleased to inform you that you are now...
So he's put on scholarship.
I really appreciate this, guys. Thank you, Coach. Guys, there's a lot of guys here that deserve this just as much, if not more, than I do. But I promise you guys, I won't let you down, and I appreciate this more than you can possibly imagine. Guys, this has been a childhood dream of mine just to be here, and to experience this, it's unbelievable. So thank you guys, thank you Coach, wherever you are, I don't know where you are, but
Hello?
Hey.
Now he's talking to his family.
I'm on scholarship. I just want to tell you, they put me on scholarship.
All right, there you go. Highly emotional talking to his family, informing them that he's just been put on scholarship.
That's good news for the parents. that's not
what a proud moment, though. As a parent, don't have to pay the tuition. But
great moment. And I guess, that player that departed a couple of days ago, we had a texter last hour wondering if that opened up, where that scholarship goes to.
Yeah, it's possible.
Possible.
Well, someone who may know, let's go to the Bob Steak and Chop House hotline. He covers the Longhorns and does great work with the Austin American Statesman and Hook'em.com. Also follow him on Twitter, our friend Brian Davis. BD, how's it going, man?
Boys, how we doing this morning?
Hey, how come you didn't go to Australia with Shaka and the boys? I thought you'd be down there fighting kangaroos watching basketball.
You know, I figured if I just stayed here, got up at 4 a.m. and drank a Foster's, that would basically be the same thing.
Well, those oil cans.
Watch them on.
Not right?
The old oil can.
I think that's well said. All right, 16 days to the season. The big injury last night with Andrew Beck. Give me some of your headlines that you've been following here for Tom Herman in their first training camp with this coaching staff.
Well, the news last night was stunning, quite frankly, I thought. This is a position that Herman has worried about from day one, basically going back to spring football. Wasn't really sure how this was going to go. Now with Andrew Beck hurt again, my bet is that it's the same foot that he fractured in the spring. He's a player that is thought to be really durable as a blocker, but yet Andrew Beck has had a lot of nicks and scrapes over his career here. And a broken foot is a big problem. So you look at the fact that Reese Lato is going to be suspended for the first two games. Garrett Gray hasn't really practiced that much because he's been in summer school. That really only leaves Kendall Moore, the graduate transfer, and Cade Brewer. Now, Cade Brewer, the pride of Lake Travis, has gotten some pretty good reviews in this camp for his blocking out wide and just his physical nature, but still he hasn't played a down of college football yet. So we'll see. And tight end is a very important position in this offense. This isn't like a position that you can just cover up. I mean, this is one that they want to use a lot.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we talked about it last hour, Brian, that the two going into camp, the two biggest positions you wanted to avoid injury would be, you know, right side of the offensive line and tight end, and now that's really where they've suffered their two biggest with Elijah Rodriguez and now, you know, this injury to Andrew Beck, and it'll be interesting to see what Tom Herman has to say after practice today.
See, and that, Aaron, is a fantastic point. Well, you couple this, and this is why it's so important, this injury along with Elijah Rodriguez probably being out, I think he's going to be out for the season. So now you've taken your projected starting right tackle and your starting tight end. Now all of a sudden the right side of your offensive line has got very serious question marks. And so that you know, I know some people probably think tight end, big deal, what's the big deal? But you put those two injuries together, now you've got a real problem on your hands.
Monty Williams is here with us. BD, what do you got, Monty?
Hey, Brian, the coach recently said that, I think it was after the scrimmage late last week or over the weekend, that the two kind of MVPs from the scrimmage were Sam Ehlinger and Puna Ford. I want to talk about Ehlinger for a minute. Is that a motivational technique to try and get Bouchel to do something, or is there a chance that Ehlinger is going to start moving up and getting reps with the first squad?
Well, you know, Monty, I think it's a couple of things there, you know, from a motivational standpoint. I mean, obviously, I think anything that motivates Shane is probably good. But you have to look at it like this. Herman knows he really only has two quarterbacks. The statistical odds of one of those guys playing every snap for all 12 games is probably pretty low. So you know that Sam is going to get in there and play some. So you need to kind of build his confidence too. I would think a terrible move would be to go through August and say, okay, Shane's our guy. Shane is the man. And oh, by the way, we have this freshman from Westlake, whatever. And then boom, here it is in Maryland. And the guy gets knocked down or his helmet comes off, whatever, in the first quarter. Now you got to run the backup out there who you've been dogging, you know, all August. So I think it's a little bit of, you know, breathe some life into Sam Ehlinger's confidence. I have never bought into this idea that there's a quarterback controversy out there. I mean, I think Shane Bouchel is the guy, snap one, day one, but still Sam's going to play. And I think he should. And quite frankly, I would play him early against Maryland. I'd get him out there the third series, you know, when the game is still early and everyone's heart is pumping a little bit, and just to get him exposed to that, because you're going to need him in some big moments in this year, I believe.
Yeah, almost certainly. The backup quarterback is one play away from needing to play quickly. Brian Davis is with us, Austin American Statesman, Hook'em.com. The other position of concern is running back, and you know, they haven't had a significant long-term injury, doesn't appear, but Chris Warren has had time out. Kyle Porter's been out with a shoulder. Kirk Johnson's battling a hamstring. That's also a position that they seem to have a lot of guys, but you'd really like to see one guy or two step forward and really be the bell cows.
Absolutely. You know, you think back to this point last season, you know, and everyone was writing, I know I was writing, that this was going to be a two-headed combo with, you know, Deontay Foreman and Chris Warren. And, oh, by the way, they got Kyle Porter, this young you know, bowling ball from Katy, right? Well, Deontay Foreman did not become Deontay Foreman until Chris Warren got hurt,
mm-hmm.
right? If you really think about it, Deontay did not get the carries. He didn't get the. He just didn't get the touches, the exposure. There is no way Foreman runs for 2,000 yards unless Chris Warren gets hurt against Oklahoma State last year. So the reason I say that is because you don't know what kind of doors are going to open up because of players getting hurt, right? Now, that said, I am really skeptical Chris Warren makes it the entire season. I just don't know that he's going to be able to do that. To me, Kyle Porter's got to get past his shoulder injury. There's been some mixed reviews, in my opinion, on the young guys. It's tough to say. It's tough to say right now. I mean, running back is a real position that is much thinner than it looks on paper, I think.
Ryan Davis is with us, beat reporter covering the Longhorns. You've been to every availability. You know, Tom Herman's a pretty candid guy. I mean, I feel like he tells you what he's thinking. What's your sense of his feel for this team, Brian? Kind of overview. I mean, has he been, you think, pleasantly surprised, just disappointed? Where do you think Tom Herman is with 16 days left?
No, I mean, I know he's been pleasantly surprised, big picture, about how much talent he does have, and how much, you know, what the coaching staff has to work with. They're just very concerned about the depth. It's sort of like a mile wide but only an inch deep right now. And so I think that's their biggest concern, is that if they get hit with a big raft of injuries at multiple positions, I think that this coaching staff feels like they're going to be in a really tough spot. But, you know, it's almost like, I think it's my opinion, this coaching staff feels like they've got 22 pretty solid players, but they don't have 22 solid backups right now. And so to me, that's going to be what probably holds this team back a little bit this year. I mean, I don't know if we want to get into predictions right now, but
sure.
But that's why I think, you know, 8-4, maybe 9-3 is probably, you know, on the high side of the optimistic scale, because I just don't know if they've got enough depth to get through 12 rugged games and make it to that kind of level. They need another solid recruiting class to kind of beef things up, in my mind.
If you predict what they're going to look like, though, two things that I think tangibly, or at least I expect the team to be different than years past, is one, special teams. I think they're just going to be a lot better on special teams based on Coach Herman's, you know, obsession with special teams and working them and being involved in every single part of it. And the second thing is mismatches on offense. I mean, they have the athletes to take ability of mismatches, but it really is the coaching staff's, it's their responsibility to get those mismatches. And I just think that Herman's, I love a spread to run offense anyway. And I really think we're going to see a lot of individual performances based on getting mismatches in space.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that, Monty. I think that if we get to the end of this year and Colin Johnson is not a star, then something has gone very wrong, right? I just think he is a potential star in waiting. I think Reggie Hemphill is a guy that's got real serious breakout capabilities on offense. You know, and that's the thing, is that, you know, Shane Buechele is a quarterback. You know, you don't have to go around and make a bunch of dazzling plays. Just get the ball out of your hands and let them do their thing out wide. I mean, if you think about cornerbacks in the Big 12, how many of them can go up against a 6'6 receiver? There's a couple of 6'5 guys, and, you know, Lil Jordan is 6'5. You know, Jerron Hurd, put him in the slot too. I mean, just the mismatches that they have out wide, I think it's going to really play to Texas's advantage, right? Of course, now the flip side of that is that, all right, I don't see any 6'6 corners wearing burnt orange either, right? Which is a problem. But you talk about your point on special teams. I wrote about this today in the Statesman. You know, Herman was a special teams coach at San Houston State for 4 years. So the idea that he has done it before himself, I think, is really key. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Charlie did not pay much attention to special teams at all. You know, Jeff Traylor was the special teams coach in name only, but they really didn't practice it all that much, or probably as much as they should have. And I can sit here and think of at least 5 games over the last 2 years that swung against Texas because of special teams, right? I mean, obviously Oklahoma State being number one on that list. And so I think there's just going to be a much, much, much greater detail to that. And, you know, for the love of you-know-who, I mean, block an extra point. Good gracious.
Yeah, well, they call it the special forces, and I know under Mac Brown, when they were at the heyday, it was special. They made plays. They blocked kicks. They scored points with their defense or with their special teams and created opportunities. That certainly hadn't been the case of late. That's a talent issue, but also an attention-to-it issue, and Tom Herman seems to be focused on that phase of the game. Brian, we appreciate it, my friend. It's good stuff. We'll do it again maybe next week and get an update a couple, you know, inside 2 weeks out, and get your thoughts on the defense as we get there with Todd Orlando on that side of the ball. Thank you, BD. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Brian Davis. There you go. A little overview. Texas thinks Tom Herman likes his team. That's kind of what we've generalized, too, that first 22 we think we can win, But can you keep 22 guys healthy? Can guys step up when you do have these injuries? That's why the Andrew Beck injury is a big one. Obviously, is the Elijah Rodriguez, where Denzel Okafor has really got to step into that spot. Cade Brewer, Reese Lehto is going to be suspended for the first two games. So you're looking to spot those first two, San Jose State and Maryland, Monty, where you're really going in with two tight ends.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. So you may have to change how you do things going in until Lehto can get back. All right, quick timeout. We come back. We're busy. Craig Way. We'll have the Craig Way report for this morning. Hear from Tom Herman coming up. Also, John Harris, Houston Texans Radio Network, HoustonTexans.com. His thoughts on the Texans camp to this point. Deshaun Watson's progress. Deontay Foreman's progress as well. It's coming here on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, from one great guest to the next. Coming up, we're talking to John Harris, get an update on his thoughts on Texans camp. We'll hit some Cowboys camp as well. The latest on this Zeke Elliott story getting really ugly. Dueling press releases yesterday. One from the NFL castigating Ezekiel Elliott's team for trying to smear the alleged victim in this case. And then the NFL Players Union came back with a pretty harsh retort. We'll get to that coming up and ask the question, what do the Cowboys do? How do you move forward with Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden? Do you even let Zeke Elliott play in these coming games, or do you got to get other guys ready? We'll talk about it coming up. But right now, right at 8:30, how about getting Craig Way, voice of the Longhorns. Light the tower orange, the Craig Way Report.
As the third week of fall camp practices wind down for the area's three college football teams, the coaching staffs at Southwestern University, Texas State University, and the University of Texas continue to ponder their depth charts and roster options. One option that Longhorns head coach Tom Herman won't have to consider is his punter. That's Michael Dixon, last year's All-American and Ray Guy Award finalist. And the junior from Sydney, Australia, is of the opinion that this could indeed be a special year for the Horns.
I want to be a part of the winning tradition extremely badly, and I think it's going to happen this year. I can just see the energy that we have, the positivity that we have, and just like the unit that has come together. I think that we're going to be part of a winning tradition, and just because we're so close, it's going to feel that much better.
In a fall camp for Texas that has seen plenty of unpleasant injury news, there was more yesterday. Senior tight end Andrew Beck sustained a foot fracture in practice yesterday and is still being evaluated, and freshman defensive back Chris Brown is having a high ankle sprain examined. We'll hear more from the all-world punter from down under, Michael Dixon, coming up this afternoon in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
Brought to you by Bud Light.
Certainly is. Love these Aussie punters, man. They can boom it. Coming off that Australian rules football, and they get them in those clinics and teach them how to punt. Michael Dixon, one of the best in the country for sure, going into his junior year coming up this year. So we'll hear more from that. Thanks to Craig Way. Thanks to Bud Light as well, of course. Remember, get those final tickets. Be at Coke Fest on Saturday out in Hutto, Texas. The gin at the co-op. It'll be a great, great show. Get you more details on that coming up. But thank you always to Bud Light. We gave away our last pair of VIP passes last night at the Walmart location for the VIP, but like Cool Zone Monty on Saturday.
Wow, very nice, very nice. How hot was it when you were out there? Pretty hot.
I'm not gonna say being in the parking lot of Walmart was for 4 hours was cool.
was nice breeze.
Wasn't exactly the Cool Zone.
Hey, you know what? Back to Australia. You know, Stanford plays Rice in Australia
next Saturday, week from Saturday.
Yeah. Huh? I wonder if they'll come back with some punters.
Go find a punter or something else down there. Let's go to the Bob Stegan Chop House Hotline. One of our favorite people. We talked to him as training camp opened, and now a good time to check in on Houston Texans training camp as they're about to wrap it up and head back to Houston. Our friend John Harris of the Houston Texans Radio Network, HoustonTexans.com. Johnny, how are we doing?
Well, we're still alive. That's a good thing. I've been out of the great state of Texas for the last, it feels like about 3 years, but it's really been about 4 weeks. And we are all ready to come home. But I don't want that to be that we haven't enjoyed our time here at West Virginia, but it's just time to come home.
We have four weeks in West Virginia.
How do you do laundry?
You know, it's funny. I'm looking at it right now. We're at the Fairfield Inn and Suites in Lewisburg, which is about 10 minutes away from the Greenbrier, and they've got one washer and one dryer. That's it. And they've got everybody on extended stay here. So luckily, I've chosen the right times to go down there and do laundry. And I do laundry in my house, so I'm pretty used to doing it. So it's not been bad, but I'm actually debating, like, what do I do with this stack of laundry? And I'm like, you know what? I think it's just going to go in a bag and go on a plane, and I'll watch when I get home tomorrow.
Yeah, well, 4 weeks at the Greenbrier, and they're at the what is it, the Fairfield Inn and Suites.
Fairfield.
Fairfield, I love it. John Harris is with us. You know, there's so many conversations to be had. Just quickly give us an update on Deshaun Watson and Deontay Foreman, two guys I know a lot of casual NFL fans are paying attention to, and certainly right here in Austin with Deontay, who had that first opening game. How have they looked so far, this far into camp?
Well, I'll start with Deontay because I know everybody in Austin would love to hear about him. And I think he's been much better than advertised, to be honest. And he was advertised pretty healthily before we got here. I'll tell you the one thing. I mean, you guys saw it, Deontay. You know how many carries did he have last year? It felt like he carried it a million times. So we knew he could run the football. But he caught the ball 13 times in 3 years. And there was a lot of talk about, well, he can't catch the ball. He's not going to be good in pass protection. Now, I will admit, his pass protection does need to get better, especially for a guy his size. I think a guy his size just has to understand and learn how he uses that size and uses it to his advantage. But I'll tell you the one thing that's really been impressive about Deontay is his ability to catch the ball in the backfield. The first or second day we were here, the Texans motioned him out of the backfield to an empty set. And he went out wide. And a safety went with him. And I'm looking at the formation. I'm like, you know, really, theoretically speaking, the best matchup here is probably Foreman on a linebacker or on a safety, but it's throwing the ball to Foreman. Hey, how good of hands does he have? He runs a slant route as the outside wide receiver, and the quarterback comes back to him. I can't remember if it was Savage or Watson, and just throws a pill to him. And I'm like, there's no way. Foreman jumps up, snatches it, and then continues on his run. The defensive back, the safety, went up like he was going to intercept it. Foreman snatched it and ran downfield. And I went, I'll tell you what, boys, his hands are so much better than we expected, and we've seen that more and more throughout camp, whether it's running screens, running flat routes, swinging him out of the backfield, you know, little H angle or F angle out of the backfield and those things. He really has been impressive catching the football. And Deshaun Watson's been very good. I felt like the last couple of days, Tom Savage against the Patriots was probably a notch above. And there's been a lot of momentum building for Deshaun to maybe push for that week one starting job. But I think the last couple of days against the Patriots, I think Deshaun, I don't take to say he took a step back, but he just didn't take the step that Tom Savage did. So it's really turned out to be a really good competition. And not one where, well, okay, I guess we got to give it to this guy. Both guys have really earned what they've gone out and done each and every day. I mean, Tom is earning the first job, and Deshaun is definitely earning the opportunity to push for that starting job. So they've both been pretty impressive. But it's really good to have the Patriots in here the last couple of days, even if it's just to take the aura away of seeing Brady and Gronk and that Patriots team kind of in a less pressurized setting, so that when they do see him in week three, it's just our buddies from the Greenbrier. And hopefully that will pay off in some way, shape, or form down the road, that we can quit looking at the Patriots as, the Patriots, instead of just, that's the opponent on the other side.
You know, Deontay Foreman's brother last spring was saying whoever Amonte, he ends up with, Amonte Freeman, whoever Deontay ends up with, they're going to be real happy with this guy's hands. He said, of course, his brother's a receiver, and he said he's got as good a hands as I do.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you get people nowadays, and they take a look at a prospect, and I don't fault them, because what ends up happening is you want to see things on tape. And I tell people all the time, just because you don't see it on tape doesn't mean that a guy can't do it. It just means that he's probably going to have to show it to you down the road before you're really convinced. And when you catch 13 passes, 7 of them last year, people aren't going to be convinced that the guy can be a great receiver out of the backfield. When they're looking for a knock on a player, especially coming out of college, you're like, well, he's not a perfect player. There's got to be something wrong. And then they look at that receiving column and go, well, there it is. 7 receptions. He can't catch the ball in the backfield. I mean, it's a pretty natural stance to take for a lot of analysts, I guess, at that point, because they just haven't seen it. And because they haven't, they just immediately go to, well, that can't be the case. And I always step back from that at some point and say, you know what, I haven't seen him do it. But that doesn't mean he can't do it. I get more worried about the guys that I've seen try and can't do it as opposed to the guys that we haven't seen. So maybe he can, and definitely Deontay Foreman has proved that for sure.
Good to hear. John Harris with us, Houston Texans Radio Network, also HoustonTexans.com. They do great. They load it up with content there. John's a big part of that. Hey, John, you know, you've been there for a month now. Just an overview. What have you been really maybe encouraged by if you're a Texans fan? What has been discouraging for you as they head into preseason game number two this Saturday with New England?
Well, I'll start with the discouraging part. Not that I'd like to be negative at all, but I think this one's really easy, and it's the injuries at wide receiver. The wide receiver position has just been ravaged by injuries, and the last practice against the Patriots, the starting receivers were Drez Anderson and Bruce Ellington. And if you're going, who? Yeah, those two guys didn't exist on the roster back in early June. So, and Drez Anderson came the last week of OTAs and minicamp, and Bruce Ellington was signed 6 days ago, I think. So they've really been ravaged by injuries. Now, Hopkins should be okay, and he should be back soon. Braxton Miller, same thing. They really thought his foot was a lot worse, his ankle was a lot worse after the Carolina game, or during the Carolina game, but that turned out to be an ankle sprain. He should be back. So you should get those two back, and that should be okay. Jalen Strong had a much better day, but the injuries have just piled up at that position, and it's really been tough for the quarterbacks to try and find that synergy with guys when they just haven't been at practice. And that's really hurt. But I've been encouraged by a number of different things. I think the quarterback play has been really good. I don't remember the quarterbacks throwing interception. Now, there are a lot of things going on at once, so I didn't see every single play. But I don't remember Watson and Savage throwing interception in team drills or 7-on-7 drills at all. So that's a key, not turning the ball over. Last year they threw 16 interceptions, and that was brutal because they only threw 15 touchdowns. So if you're going to throw 16 picks, then that number's got to be 25, 26, 27 in the touchdown category. That wasn't there. But I feel like the injuries at receiver right now are just, I think it's going to be okay, but I'm not totally sure. And that's been discouraging, but encouraging. I think the quarterbacks in particular, how they've handled things, how Deshaun has come along as a rookie. I think it's been real impressive to watch him work. And the people that have seen him that have come from a national perspective have said, wow, he's more impressive than we thought too. But so has Tom. Tom's been really, really good. So, you know, they've pushed each other, and that's been really good. But the most encouraging thing, guys, has been, and I don't mean this in a funny sense, it's the weather. Because we've been up here in 75-degree weather, and because it's been cool, and you're not in that 100-degree heat, that 100% humidity, they've been able to get so much good work at the end of a practice because they're not trying to survive it. They're trying to just get better because they've got their wind. They've got their legs. They're not dead when the practice is over. They're getting more out of every single minute of practice. Whereas you get that halfway mark in a practice down in our state, and all of a sudden you're dying. And on a 90-man roster, I know it's like, well, you have 90 men, right? But they're spread out all over the place, and you got a lot of reps. And when it's 100 degrees and 100% humidity, you just want to get through it. So you're not worried about what you need to do on the next rep. You're worried about, can I survive the next rep? Am I going to make it through the next one? But the weather has really afforded them the opportunity to make sure every rep is a quality one. And that's been huge. And I'd almost guarantee you we're going to come back here next year. And it's going to be I think it's going to be a good thing. I think it's been a great thing for the team and the organization. Everybody has loved it. But the weather in particular has been great for them to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a fact. It is brutal in Houston for 20 minutes outside, much less a two-hour practice when you're in full pads. And, you know, you can say get tougher or be tough. That'd take a lot out of you, as a matter of fact. You do it every single day. Hey, John, quickly, how much do we think we'll see the starters against the Patriots on Saturday night at NRG Stadium?
Not an excessive amount. The starters got a ton of reps the last couple of days against New England up here. So I don't think that we'll see the starters an excessive amount, and I think it's the same on the Patriots side. I would be surprised if it's more than a series, if that, for any of the starters on either side. There might be some guys you see go a little bit longer, but that's what these joint practices have allowed, and that is those starters should get reps. I don't know how many reps J.J. Watt got. I mean, there was a ton. He doesn't need to play against the Patriots on Saturday night. Let the young guys get evaluated, get a lot of reps in, get some experience playing in front of the home crowd. So I don't think the starters will play a lot, but that's okay. You get a chance to see a lot of rookies. I think Deontay will carry it a lot. We'll see a lot of Zach Cunningham. We'll see a lot of Julion Davenport and a lot of those rookies that we really have grown to appreciate and like the last couple of weeks since we've been here.
John, appreciate it. Safe travels back. Thanks for the coverage, and I'm glad you got to enjoy that weather. But good to get you back here into the great state, okay?
Yeah, exactly, and I didn't get attacked by a bear, so I was good.
Say goodbye to West Virginia. Thanks, John. John Harris, have a safe trip back. Texans, big thumbs up. And that, look, you know, people will say, I remember going back to the movie The Junction Boys and things of that, where they've made films of it. I mean, yeah, there's something to being tough, and there's something to, you know, no water, be a tough guy. Well, is that the most efficient way to get yourself ready for a football season, or is it not?
It's dangerous as hell.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's dangerous.
Well, look, I go back, and we could have gone on with John, but as a Texans fan, I've seen them play week one and week two the last several years where they just kind of look flat-footed. They don't seem, and the team that they're playing seems, and they've gotten off to a little bit of a slow start the last couple, memory serves, and you know, we'll see. We'll see if this can pay dividends, because you can actually get more good work done. It's one of the reasons the Cowboys have gone to California forever. I mean, it just makes sense because, you know, Tom Herman and company have been very careful with this Texas team of how often they're in the bubble. They're not doing the two-a-days. They're going every other day. You know, if you live in it, you just have to practice in it. And I understand there's high school teams that have gone back to, and they're in their training camps as well. But, it can take a lot out of your legs to be in that heat every day, all day.
Yeah, I remember when the Cowboys practiced at your alma mater.
And
they'd knock off around noon. It'd just be like a blast furnace.
Yeah, that's. You can't, but if you can have an opportunity to do like the Texans have, we'll see if it pays dividends. Yeah, Cowboys certainly enjoy their time in Oxnard, where it's on the coast and nice Pacific breezes all the time to get work done. We'll be back. B&E on the Horn. There's John Harris. There's Brian Davis this hour talking Texas football and the injured Andrew Beck. We'll come back, lighten it up with the salacious gossip, your blitz on a Thursday. Here we go. Load it up, 447-3776. What say you?
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just salacious gossip here on the Horn, brought to you by Bud Light. Here's a guy on the text line that says, heck, I'm in the heat all day in a warehouse. Every part of my body hurts by the end of the day, and I'm not getting smacked around. That's kind of like, I was at the Walmart parking lot for 4 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
I went home and I was worn out, man. I appreciate all you guys that are, and ladies that are out there working in the heat.
I went and bought a push mower because I wanted to, you know, get a little exercise. I'm never going to use it again. I did it one time this summer and it was horrible.
A motor?
Yeah.
Like just manpower?
Exactly. Because I thought, now this is kind of a cool, off the nose way to get exercise. I just absolutely will never do that again.
What, are you getting one of them John Deere like tractor ones where you sit down on it?
No, I'm not going to get that.
No, it's got no motor.
No, it's got no motor.
It's
you know, it's just the spinner. It's just nothing but the spinner. And I thought this will be. And I just, you know, I almost vomited after about 15 minutes. Got lightheaded.
Real quick, how about former Longhorns, your Michael Finley? Remember him, BK, J. Mike? Tight end, went on to the Green Bay Packers.
Last good tight end we've had here in Austin.
Last good tight end the Longhorns have had. Well, so he went off recently and had an opinion about Marshawn Lynch and Colin Kaepernick and other guys protesting the national anthem and protesting in general. I'm disagreeing with it, saying you're a pro football player, act like a pro, and things of that nature. To which yesterday his ex-wife, Courtney Finley, went off on the dude. Holy cow. She put out a statement yesterday that says, this serves as a reminder to JerMichael Finley, in case you've forgotten, you are black. The athletes, foremost people you're telling to sit down or stand up or shut up, are the very men that are protesting for your safety and equality in a country that has nearly revoked that right based on your skin color. As a biracial mother of four black boys that have been left to be raised by a single mother, I have a deep and desperate gratitude for those that use their platform to fight for our communities, justice, safety, and equality. Said if you, she's, by the way, she's white. She said, if you don't want to be part of the resolution to the racial inequities in this country, that's for you. But for the sake of our four sons, don't be part of the problems. I pray you will reevaluate your stance.
Damn! Wow.
Once you go black, you're going to need a wheelchair.
I love how she reminds him that he's black. Like, JerMichael Finley didn't know that.
Did he forget the league?
You're black?
Is he still playing? He was almost killed in his final play on the field with the Green Bay Packers. A serious neck injury.
Oh, that's right.
This serves a reminder to add JMichael88, if you've forgotten, you are black. Interesting. And we got the former feud. Let's go to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Look at AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
It certainly is, Scott Crossett. Let's go to your Blitz. First Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, yo, money. This is Rocky Balboa. You think I'm a bum? I ain't no bum. Well, why don't you like my movie? I ain't no bum.
Not bad.
That was a good one.
Not bad.
It actually was better than Sylvester Stallone.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, let me merely suggest to LeBron James to throw haymakers on the basketball court and not in the arena of political gamesmanship. You're going to get Kaepernicked.
No, I don't think LeBron. Ooh, someone he's got critiques.
Someone in the back. Good one.
Good one. Woo!
I'm not taking his calls anymore. We can't have grades from them.
No, I'll tell you what.
This is the gallery.
Rooting. No rooting in the press box.
Feels like office space. You got guys in the other cubicle. Good one. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hola, Tres Batos. Hey, I'm so sorry to hear about Andrew Beck getting hurt. He could reach down a few $10,000 lockers and ask Reese Lieto for a little bit of, you know.
Stop. Lieto, and he's not doing that anymore. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Monty.
Yeah.
Congratulations on reviving the Munsters on NBC, digging out of the grave Fred Gwynn, Ivana Carlo, Al Lewis, and Butch Patrick.
What?
God.
What did
Al
say?
Lewis.
Fred Lynn?
Tell you what, that's what Jack Nicholson as the Joker reminded me of, Al Lewis in the Munsters.
Next, Blitzer, you're up.
30 days. Fight on.
30 days to the rematch 11 years later. No. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Jurassic Monty. We're pulling for your buddy Freddy for a speedy recovery so y'all can finish up that zombie love story you're working on.
You know, I don't even watch The Walking Dead. I've never seen an episode of The Walking Dead. I'm not the zombie writer you think. By the way, Fred's up. They had him up walking around same day. So this is day two, and he's, you know, already probably dribbling a basketball.
That's right. Next Butcher, you're up. Glad to hear it.
If you were in St. Martin, the Virgin Islands, you'd run that beach all day, and that sun, I promise, would be
what?
Donnie, what are you saying, man?
Who knows what Donnie's saying? He doesn't even know sometimes. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I think I saw Digger in Charlottesville last weekend on the video.
Who?
What was it, D, right? Digger?
Digger?
Digger, not
Digger.
Digger next, Phelps?
Digger, next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, DK, this is the non-bitter Trojan fan. Hey, Monty, when OJ gets out this summer, he's not looking for the killer. Guess what he's going to be looking for?
Who?
These nuts.
Oh, these nuts. He got you again. Next one, you're up.
E.
Yeah.
It's so hot outside. Sweating.
Sweat is sweating. It's true. It was hot yesterday. Next one, you're up.
Aaron.
Hmm.
Yes. Watch it on my black thing so you're unable
No. And this guy says, I worked in the heat all summer and went straight back to college, didn't fail another class, because that'll learn. I mean, that's right. You spend a summer doing manual labor, you'll embrace the education more. That's true.
That's
what
right.
I'm saying about the Texans and other teams, if your goal is to be at your best when the football season begins in the regular year, I mean, wearing yourself out for a month in the Texas heat doesn't sound like an optimal idea. Getting to cooler temperatures to get the good work in that you want is probably a better way to go.
No, you don't want recovery to be an issue in game one.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I grew up in Houston. It is overly oppressive in this time of year, in the August, for crying out loud. Hey, Bucky's excited. Look at this. Bucky has always said his New Year's resolution is to win the lottery. Powerball up to $510 million this time around. BK, Saturday night, 510.
And the Buck just sent me a picture. Idaho has somehow made him wider than he already was.
Is it an appropriate picture?
It's appropriate, thankfully. I mean, he's in a robe. You know, no telling if there's what's
he's
going
in a
on
robe?
Underneath there. But,
we'll come back. B&E on the horn at the bed and breakfast.
At the Bucky
picture
the bed
to come.
And
check your social medias. We'll be back with the 9 o'clock hour.